Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Summarize with AI in a click.
Click, click, click.
Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
What's shaking, Red Nation? It is Jeremy Brenner with another episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, though, this is episode number 300 of The Dream Take. I wish we were talking about a better game on such a milestone occasion, but congrats to 300 episodes, Mr. Michael Brown, of The Dream Take. That doesn't include the 100 we did for Harden My Take. So 300, 400, nonetheless, a mazel to you.
A major mazel to you as well, sir. I realized that after we did the show, or I did the show last night, I was like, look, it's episode 400/300. I couldn't let you do it alone.
No, of course not. Of course not. And so, I mean, look, let's just get this out of the way for tonight. I came into this show. I'm like, I want to talk about Şengün. I want to talk about Tari. So those are the bright spots for tonight. But let's get the government stuff out of the way, the things that you got to talk about, but you don't want to. But you got to, because that's what we do here at The Dream Take. And we gotta talk about it. So Rockets fall 113-95. Honestly, could have been worse. I hate to say that as well, but only an 18-point loss. The Rockets were trailing by 20-plus for a good chunk of this game. But Tari Eason led all Rockets with 18 points and 11 rebounds. Şengün had a decent night, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. Jabari Smith, 14 points for in. KJ, 14 points as well. Other than that, not too much. Jalen struggled tonight, only 6 points for him, 2 of 9 shooting. Ty had 10 off the bench. Okay, I guess we could celebrate that. Josh Christopher got his first start of the season tonight. 7 points for him in 19 minutes. Decent minutes from him, but we've seen better from Gup. Going to the Cavs, 26 from Garland led all scorers. 1 of 6 scorers in double figures. 21 and 10 for Evan Mobley. 14 and 10 for Jared Allen. 15 points off the bench from Dean Wade. You know, Dean Wade, I do want to bring that up at some point during the episode because, you know, Dean Wade had 4 threes, and Darius Garland had 5 threes, and the Rockets as a team had 5 threes. So I think that's a big reason why the Rockets lost this game, Mike.
Yeah, man. look, Rockets played tonight, correct me if I'm wrong, no Jae'Sean Tate, no Eric Gordon.
Correct.
No Kevin Porter Jr.
Correct.
I'm trying not to be just blatantly mad at the coaching staff tonight because it's hard. It's hard to play. Cleveland's good, man. Like, Cleveland can play. And they played tonight.
And they did. Cleveland didn't have Donovan Mitchell tonight, who was an all-star starter.
Yeah.
What a season he's had.
They could have won this game. They could have won this game by 60 points. And I'm not. That's not a joke.
I'm not gonna dispute that.
Yeah, I mean, that's how bad it is, man. And we'll get into this, I'm sure, as the show goes on. Where's Usman Garuba? We're just not going to play Garuba. We're not going to play Ty Ty for, what, 3 straight games he hasn't played, and then tonight?
Garuba must have been hurt tonight. There's no way that, you know, you don't play Garuba in a game like this where the Rockets have to play a team that's, you know, just super big.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the medical bike in the tunnel during the game. So I don't know if he was hurt. ESPN didn't confirm it, and there was no confirmation before the game if he was hurt.
How much did he play last night?
He didn't play last night. He was officially a DNP CD last night. And this is the problem, Jeremy, is I don't even care that they lost tonight. The loss doesn't bother me at all. It's how they lost. Mm-hmm. And they got embarrassed tonight, and it's bad.
Yeah, well, there was a lineup there at one point during the game that I think contends for the worst five man that they could have possibly churned out. And Ty,
I saw it.
Nix, Garrison Matthews, Tari Eason. I'm sorry, Tari. Tari's the one player on this group of five that I think has some staying power in Houston, and Bruno. And I'm just like, well, of course you're going to lose. Like, how can you expect to win with that lineup? You're like, yes. That's the lineup that's going to win us this game. And, you know, that lineup came, like, right after the starters kind of went to the bench. And the Rockets were, you know, they were with the Cavs. Like, that first little run of 8 minutes or so, you know, the Rockets held up with the Cavs. I think it was like a four-point game at that point, and then they trotted out that lineup, and that's when the game got out of hand.
Yeah, man, it's the lack of awareness by this coaching staff that just dumbfounds me, because you're gonna have guys in and out of the lineup. I get it. Second night of a back-to-back, tough loss last night to Washington. I get it, but your coaching staff is still there, and it's up to the coaching staff to play the right combination of guys that you have, which tonight, Jeremy, let's look at the minute allocation tonight, right? Jabari played 19 minutes tonight. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know if we can really look at the minutes allocation tonight as like a fair assessment, only because it was, as you said, it was the second night of a back-to-back. As you said, you know, the game was out of hand for a while. There was some garbage time at the end, you know? So I think had the game been a little bit closer, Jabari would have gotten more minutes. I think Josh Christopher would have seen more minutes. Jalen Green would have gotten more minutes. All of the starters would have played more had this game been closer. But, you know, there was just no reason to. I mean, the second half of a back-to-back, you're not going to win the game. You know you're not going to win the game. And it's just, yeah. So, like, this is, like, the one thing with Silas and the coaching staff that I can't point the finger at them. Like these are the players you got. And, like, Dacian Nix does not belong in the NBA. Ty Washington, in very, very unique circumstances, could belong in the NBA. I think that unique circumstance would be on a team with a bunch of veterans. I don't think that's the Rockets. Bruno, love the guy. Not on an NBA roster for much longer, I fear. Garrison Matthews, again, a fringe guy. You know, maybe two-way, maybe not. And the reason he's there is because he helps space the floor, and he's a three-point specialist. And the Rockets need, like, three more of those guys that, you know, can do more than just shoot. But, like, that's the thing, Mike, is, you know, last night I think they made, what, like, five threes? And then again tonight, only five threes. And you're seeing Darius Garland match that just by himself. No wonder you're losing these games. I mean, so that's the thing, though, with Şengün, like, if you put Şengün up there and you get him four shooters, that is arguably one of the best possible lineup combos I can think of in the NBA. And look, I'm serious, Mike. Look, Şengün's a great passer. He can also create for himself in the low block. If people are cutting to the rim, they can get buckets. That's why KJ's out there. That's why Tari's out there. You know, those guys can create and play well with Şengün. But if you get shooters out there and Şengün draws these doubles, you leave these shooters out wide open. If they can work their way around the perimeter and get open, that's exactly what the Rockets need more of. And look, you have that expectation that Jabari Smith is going to turn into a plus shooter. You have that expectation that Jalen Green is going to turn into that plus shooter. Those guys are rookies and second-year players, and the consistency needs to get better. And it will. I feel like it will. It's still really early in both their careers. But you need also established guys. And especially next season when you probably won't have control of that top pick. You need established shooters around Şengün. And I feel like there is potential there. You see it with Şengün. You can see it with Tari. You're seeing pieces of a team that could come together to form something really nice. But unfortunately, it didn't come tonight.
Well, you're not wrong. You and I can debate this until the cows come home. The Rockets just had a chance to get one of those guys that you're talking about. Kendrick Nunn would have been a great Rocket. He's exactly.
I mean, that's the thing, Mike, is I agree with you that Kendrick Nunn would be good, but that's the thing is Kendrick Nunn is not a great player, but he would be a lot better than what we have.
Well, but that's my point. But you just described the type of guy that you could have gotten him in an Eric Gordon deal to the Lakers. But the problem is, it's exactly what you were talking about. This front office sucks at their job. Sorry. Overall, they've made some decent moves. But this is what you get when you have a yes man as a GM and an awful head coach, is you get performances like tonight more often than not. They didn't even put up a fight tonight, Jeremy.
But I also think you got to define the job that the front office has been set out to do.
Fair.
And that's something that we've talked about in the past. Fair. You know, is this front office's job to put out the worst team imaginable, or are they actually trying and failing? And the thing is, if they're doing the former, they're doing a great job.
GM of the year.
But if they're trying for the second part, it's definitely not it. And nights like tonight, when you're throwing out Ty Ty and Knicks and that lineup, like you can't be serious. Like this is the first night, I think. Like, I mean, it probably isn't the first night, but this is like probably the most deliberate. That's probably the most deliberate tank lineup we've seen all year long.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, my problem with a night like tonight, Jeremy, and you and I, between you and I, we either both are watching every single one of these games, one of us is watching every one of these games, is either play Ty Ty consistently or don't play him. Stop this every other game he gets 6 to 12 minutes. It doesn't work.
Either that was my biggest criticism of drafting Ty Ty in the first place, was that there would just be no playing time for him. And that's the thing is, you know, that's right. Why Christopher wasn't playing a whole lot. So, like, it's like they've kind of – like, at the beginning part of the season, Nyx was the one getting those minutes. Yeah. And then for the longest time, Nyx was getting those minutes. And then Ty Ty was balling out in the G League, and it got to a point to where you had to play Ty Ty. So then Ty Ty was getting those minutes. He wasn't horrible. He was better than Nyx, but he wasn't doing anything special. And then it seems like something clicked with Josh Christopher, and now Josh Christopher is getting those minutes. And I think, honestly, out of the three, Josh Christopher is probably the one I'd rather have. We've also seen more of Josh Christopher than any of the three, but I think that – I would say this. I think that Josh Christopher has the most upside for an NBA player, but I think that Ty Ty represents – more of what the Rockets actually need is just a point guard. And he's not a great point guard. That's the thing. But I think in terms of what need he fills, I feel like at this point with Kevin Porter out, you know, Ty Ty is probably your best option at point guard at this point.
Well, it's because he's a natural point
guard. Well, yeah, that's the thing. But Christopher's the best player out of the three.
For sure. And long-term, do I think that Ty Ty and Josh Christopher both have a role on this team? Jeremy, I would say yes. Because really? I think
I don't. Not Ty Ty. Well, no, and Christopher maybe if the cards go in his favor, which considering the fact that so many more picks are coming in, it's only going to be a matter of time before Josh Christopher gets knocked out of the rotation as well.
Well, for sure. But I think that a guy like Ty Ty, he's a natural backup point guard. He's DJ Augustine. I think
he has the potential to be that. But the thing is, Ty Ty needs veterans around him to make plays. Like, he can set those players up, but the players got to make those plays. And the Rockets don't have those.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until
the Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Players that Ty Ty can set up nicely for. You know, there are some, but it's not consistent enough. It's not, you know, big enough. And it's, You know, it's unfortunate. I think Ty Ty has potential to be a great player. You saw like 53 in the G League is no joke. I mean, it's the G League, but you know, dropping 50 anywhere is impressive, especially in a professional league. But you also got to take into account that he's just the team around him is just not a good fit for him at all.
No, it's not. And
say that about a lot of these players. Say that about Şengün. Say that about, you know, Jalen. You can say that about a whole bunch of these guys. It's just, but that's the thing though, is, you know, the Rockets have now had two off seasons. They now have a third of just accruing the talent, seeing what sticks, and then going from there. And they've tried multiple opportunities, you know, to stick guys in hero moments. We've seen it with Kevin Porter, where he hasn't had too many great hero moments. We've seen it with Jalen Green. We know, I think Jalen's probably the most naturally gifted player that the Rockets have. And now we're starting to see with Şengün. And I feel like with Şengün, the way that he plays has the most staying power with the Rockets. And now that the Rockets are in a position to where they know their personnel a little bit better, now they're trying to win a little bit more. You want to be able – now I think they should really look into who they have and build around those guys. And Şengün is the guy you got to build around, Mike. It's at this point, I've seen enough of a sample size from Şengün to know that this dude is for real, legit, better than – look, I was listening back to the first episode where we had Şengün.
What are you going to say? Finish what you're going to say. Better than what?
Better than I thought he would be.
Okay. I thought you were going to compare him to somebody, and I didn't know if I was about to jump out of my seat.
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to put a comparison on Şengün because we don't know how good he can get. This is him at age 20. Who knows? In 5 years from now, Mike, in 2028, he's 25 years old. That might not even be his prime.
Yeah. Look,
I don't want to say, like, obviously the Jokic comparison is out there, but I also don't want to put that pressure on Şengün because three straight MVPs, if he wins this one, is simply just not a bar that can be reached, in my opinion. Jokic is a once in a forever player. And the fact that he plays like that shows how Jokic is kind of shaping the league. But I do think that that's like the archetype he can serve. And I think what we've seen already is even with the lackluster players around him or the half-baked players around him, including himself, he's half-baked, but he's doing a lot with a little. And I want to see what he can do with a lot around him. And that's the thing is once these players come in, once these picks come in and they grow, the sky's the limit for Şengün.
But you know what I'm about to say, right? You know where I'm going to take this conversation.
Why haven't the Rockets been winning with him?
It's part of it. Here's my big question to you. Would you bet the future of the franchise on Alperen Şengün's shoulders?
Yes.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would, at this point, Mike, the last 2 weeks, I've seen enough. I would put money. I'm not a betting man, but I would put money that Alperen Şengün is in the starting five the next time the Rockets are good again. The next Rockets playoff game. The next Rockets playoff game, Alperen Şengün is a starter.
Yeah. Here's what scares me. Here's the biggest thing that scares me if I'm a Rockets fan, is what you just said. What happens if they do get Vic? You really think that Şengün's game is going to continue to develop with him and Vic in the front court?
They'll figure it out. You got to figure it out.
That's not my question, though. That's not my question. Do you, Jeremy Brenner, think – you sort of answered it, but not really. There's no way he can continue to develop this if you put another superstar big man up front. It's not possible.
I think Şengün will be able to adapt his game around Vic. I do. And the thing is, Vic's a guy that, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot of Vic tape, but I would like to see kind of what Vic, what his teammates do. And I'd like to see, you know, because chances are, I mean, I know that there's a couple of guys on that team that have NBA potential outside of Vic, but we know Vic is just this, like, you know, super monster creator, 7'4", can play like a guard, all that. But having a guy like Şengün could really, you know, do wonders for him. Because Shingun is a creator and he's a facilitator. And that would be, and then you don't need Victor Wembanyama to do all of that. So it's, look, I don't want to think about much about the future because obviously, yes, the future is hinging a lot on where the Rockets end up in this draft. But I tell you this, Şengün will figure it out and he will be part of this next great Rockets team. I believe it. He's just too good. He's too talented to not.
I don't know. I don't know, man, because there's something about him, man. I've applauded him. You and I haven't done many shows together recently. On the shows that I've done individually, I give him all the credit in the world. I think he's definitely getting better. There's no doubt about that. The problem is still, and I've seen people say it doesn't matter. He's not good defensively. Got to count at some point because what he's doing offensively nearly every night, he's giving up, not by himself. He's a big part of giving it up defensively because not only him, but the rest of his teammates are not picking it up defensively. So my problem with him currently, people are saying, not only you, there's a ton of people. I'm definitely in the minority here. I definitely acknowledge that. But I asked, would you bet the franchise on this guy? I ain't betting the franchise on him. There's not a shot in hell you could get me to do that. I want him to be a part of the team, no doubt.
I think by the end of the season, Mike, you will. Or at least by this time next year, you will. Because
maybe, potentially.
I think, look, like, and yes, the defensive lapses are an issue. But the first 8 minutes of this game, the defense was there. He had a couple blocks, couple deflections, couple steals. Like, he's active defensively. And I think with Şengün, obviously, yes, there is, you know, but he can grow that, and he will. And the thing is, if you get a Victor Wembanyama, if you get another guy like that, he might not have to be the paint protector. Which, I mean, you know, and who knows how he'll be on the perimeter, but...
But when Wembanyama's not a rim protector, though. That's the thing. That's the misnomer.
I mean, Victor Wembanyama's got huge hands. He can figure out how to protect the rim in the NBA.
But he has to play. But he's a perimeter guy. He likes playing on the perimeter.
He can be both. He can be both in my eyes.
He could, but learning how to become a rim protector in the NBA is nearly impossible. You know how hard that is to do that?
Well, Şengün's learning how to do it right now.
He's not any good at it, and he's in his second year. In his second year, I get it. Mike is only 20, not you. Other people, I get it, 100%. But we continue to have this conversation, just like you and I have had this conversation since we did this show. KPJ, not a point guard. He's in year three, still not a point guard. Şengün will never be a rim protector in this league, which is okay. That's fine. You don't necessarily need him to be. But if you're not going to have that, and Wembanyama is not that type of guy either, you got a real problem in the front court, even if you get Vic. That's what no one's talking about. I'd much rather – no, I don't want to say that. Let me ask you this, Jeremy. Would you rather have Victor Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson if you had the number one pick? Who would you take? You would?
Victor Wembanyama. Yeah, this way – like we're not seeing a player like him ever.
I got you. Like, yeah, no, it's fair. Who's better? Okay, let me ask you a follow-up question. Who's better for this roster, Vic or Scoot?
The thing is, and this is where we'll end the show, but I think Scoot is a better fit for the current roster. Like I think he's a better fit for guys like Jalen. I think Şengün would jive with him pretty well. I think he would help the current guys in the roster amplify the current version of themselves. However, you put Wemby on this team and you immediately move your focus to him and the players around him, Şengün, Jalen, Ari, Jabari, all those guys are going to have to adapt their games around Wemby. And that's for any team that gets him. I mean, you have a 7'4" guy that plays like Kevin Durant. Like, you have to play around him. Like, that's like any team that gets him will mold their offense around him and just their whole franchise around him. Scoot would be a very solid pickup and he will. I think the Rockets might have an easier time next year with Şengün, with Scoot. But I think long term there might be a higher ceiling with Wemby. But that's where we'll park the rocket ship for tonight. Good discussion here, even on a rough loss. It was a 115.
They lost by 40.
They lost. By 400 because this is the 400th episode of the Dream Take / Harden My Take, and we wouldn't be here without you, listeners, you loyal listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in this episode and every episode of the Dream Take. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at the Dream Take at Dream Take. Excuse me. Whoa. My voice is all screwed up, but let me rewind, start that one over. You can follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at Dream Shake SBN. You can also head over to our Facebook page, give us a like over there. Head over to our website, thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. We'll be back on Saturday for another episode, Rockets Pistons. Tank off, Mike. Who we got?
I hate that term so much. I don't know. I don't care. A tie?
Rockets for the culture.
Can we tie? No, I mean, I hope they win. I'm never going to root against them to lose. So
it's the last game of January. We got to come out of January with at least more than one win.
God, how crazy is that? They've won one game in January.
Brutal month. But be sure to follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown at
Mike Brown _ 2020.
You can also follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this episode of The Dream Take. And for the 400th time, go Rockets!
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until
that presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case
unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com, designed for work.